sorry, but I cannot keep my clothes on.
Where's the garbage?
No. Right there.
Everybody, it's Andy
and Iana.
We're the queens of reality TV,
and we came back week after week after week, at least five in a row.
Yeah.
We're very proud of that. And it's time for a new show.
Time for a new show. What are we doing, babe?
Oh my God! It is finally. I almost said Rock of Love, which is half true.
It is.
This season two, episode one. Charm School, the Rock of Love Girls.
The Rock of Love Girls. So look, we're going to get right into the cast here. We're not going to go into each one. If you haven't listened to our episodes for Rock of Love season one and two, go do that.
You need to know who these girls are. You don't need to know who they are to appreciate this, but goddamn if it won't add a little more sunshine. Sunshine to your day. It is funny to know who they are. There are like past feuds. There are past moments that come up in this. So it's like, Just know. And if you're here, you probably do.
Also, our Rock of Love episodes are the best things we've ever done, in my opinion.
They're fucking funny.
They're hilarious.
They are very fire. Like, you got a tempered version of us on Claim to Fame. Because Claim to Fame was very serious.
It was
a serious puzzle game. We had to play the serious puzzle game.
Correct.
But now we're back to absolute crude 2007 debauchery where we have no respect for ourselves or each other.
No.
And Sharon Osbourne is mother.
Sharon Osbourne is mother.
She is RuPaul.
She is our RuPaul.
She is our RuPaul.
You know what I mean?
And that's just a different world.
Yes.
So follow us now.
Also, I have to say, I very much respect Sharon. You know what I mean?
I have always respected Sharon.
Yes.
I have always thought that she was an early Kris Jenner.
Yes,
I thought she was Kris Jennering before Kris Jenner knew what she was doing.
Absolutely.
I think Kris Jenner took a page out of the Sharon Osbourne book.
I agree with you. And I have to say, for those of you who don't remember, the Osbournes had a fucking television reality show.
For a long time.
And I
Pre-Kardashian.
And I
about
have to
the
say,
fam.
I always appreciated Sharon's mothering style.
She made it fun. I mean, okay.
She was lax.
There might be some bad news about her
now.
I think she, she's probably like a Trumper or something.
What?
I think there's something. I don't know. Maybe it's Kelly who's bad.
Maybe.
I can't keep track of people
and I
frankly don't care.
I have to say, I've never cared about the Children's.
I never cared about the Children's, but I did meet Kelly Osbourne.
When?
2004. Four?
Oh, the embarrassing times.
Yeah.
Those were the Kelly Osbourne embarrassing
when
times.
When she was on tour.
Yeah.
So I met her.
Oh, that music was tragic.
Yeah, girl. I met her while I was working for the radio station, and she was one of the like opening acts for an event that they were doing.
That
and
is
she
crazy.
Was such a bitch.
Really?
Oh, she was so rude. She was so arrogant. She did not want to meet us at all. And I remember thinking at that moment, I was like, that checks out. I mean, I wasn't like a big fan or anything. I just, because of the role I played, I got to meet all these people.
I'm a Black Sabbath fan.
Yes.
So by proxy, I'd be excited to meet Kelly Osbourne,
I was excited to meet her because it was early.
It's first degree.
Girl, it's 2004. Like, there isn't even reality TV yet other than their show.
Yeah.
I don't know what year their show was.
It had to
but
be around
was,
that time because she came out with music like right at that time.
Papa
or
Don't
after.
Preach, remember?
Oh my God, bitch.
It was a good cover and it was the right song for her.
Yeah, it was.
It was the right song for her. And I feel like her and like Avril Lavigne were friends.
They
did something together. It was like, the world was very funny. Early 2000s was just as corny and awkward as you remember it or you've seen it depicted.
Right.
But like, so we talk about this on the other show, but like separating the art from the artist is very important, especially when you're talking about early 2000s reality TV shows, because it's some cringy shit. And so if Sharon's bad now, like, sorry about it. But
at this time,
she was
everything.
She was everything. She was RuPaul, like, to the world. She was like the mother that everybody wished they had, wanted to listen to. She was the cool mom.
I remember an episode of The Osbournes where the neighbors were pissing them off. And at first, like, Ozzy was throwing shit over the fence.
I do remember that.
Do you remember that? And she was trying to calm it down. And they said something that got on her nerves. And she threw, like, a whole ass turkey over there.
Yeah.
Like,
I feel like furniture
moved. It was furniture. I remember just being like, that's a mom who gets on board. You know what I mean? Like, she tried to defuse it. It didn't work. And she joined it.
She joined in.
And I loved it.
And also, Ozzy really was like a fourth child to her.
Oh, yeah. No, this woman has been through a lot.
And can we just acknowledge, he's still alive.
Oh, good for him.
Shocking. I remember when that show was on being like, any day now.
That is so funny. So I met Ozzy Osbourne.
Incredible. Just Ozfest?
I was working at Ozfest.
Yes.
I got to, I was handling the booth where he was signing stuff.
Incredible.
So it is so interesting to see those people in real life, though. You know what I mean? Like, it is just such an experience.
I have that experience. I worked a show with Gangrel a month ago, who is a wrestler that I always looked up to and really enjoyed. And then I saw him like walking and I was like, oh God, rest your soul. It's hard to watch your idols get old. And it's especially, you know, Ozzy's been in poor physical health for many, many years. So it's been like 20 years since that show was on the air. And motherfucker's still kicking.
Good
for him and good for us. Because this episode is called One Bad Apple.
That's a good one. So we've got Rodeo. I can't wait for the impressions.
I'm so glad.
We've got Courtney. If you
Shocked.
Guys don't remember her, she went home.
There's good reason.
First on season one for being drunk as fuck and she missed the elimination.
She missed the elimination, yes.
Heather. We all know Heather.
We know Heather.
Lacey. Brandy C. We got Megan and Lily.
Yes.
Brandy M.
Yes.
So Brandy C and Brandy M. I'm sure you guys remember each of them.
Yes.
Destiny. Jessica Kinney. Chrissy Joe, Dallas, which I'm especially happy to see.
I'm very excited she's here. She wasn't around very long.
She has a very dry sense of humor.
Oh, she's so hateful. I love her.
And I love her. And she didn't get enough airtime outside of Lacey trying to pick a fight with her.
I was going
to
say, and she has extreme beef with Lacey. With Lacey being here, you know I'm excited about that.
Yes, we've got Angelique, Ina, and Raven. And a lot of people might not remember Raven because she went home first, I think, either in season one or season two as well.
I think she was maybe season one. I can't even
remember. It's hard to remember.
She wasn't there for very long. I remember she was very awkward.
Yes.
And she...
A little aggressive.
Very aggressive. And even in her season, felt like she didn't want to be there.
Yeah.
And she felt very open about it. So... We're right back to it,
you guys. So we have 14 girls and they're all in a bus. They all show up in a bus except for Lacey.
This is so cheesy and you know they planned this.
Corny. She gets out of a fucking limo and the limo driver's like, here's some money, some pocket change from your dad.
From your daddy.
And it's like $1,000 and hundreds.
Yeah. And she says, thank you, Gerard.
Get out of here.
Get bent. I hate it. I mean, maybe she was like, I'll do it, but you got to let me keep that cash. Like,
for real.
She's an entrepreneur.
No,
if there's one thing about Lacey is she knows how to run the game. What I will say is in this episode, I was like, oh, girl.
Okay, so Lacey has, when we get to it, I'll talk about it. She has issued an apology video
very publicly about this.
Good, this incident.
She seems to have grown up a bit.
I think so.
Again, it's been 20 years.
Yeah, it's been a really long time. So let's not come for her or anything.
Not yet.
Yeah. So Heather shows up as a wrestler. I thought you would really much, you know, enjoy that.
Her, oh my God, the way Megan immediately starts shitting on her. I didn't write down everything she said.
It's bad, though.
But she was like, Heather came as a stripper mixed with a wrestler. Wrestler mixed with an action hero.
Yeah, she's like an 80s wrestler, stupid, dumb, whore, skank, stupid, dumb, stinky skank.
She is so nasty. Hate each other so much, and I forgot about it.
12
because
pack. It was over 12 pack. So this apparently was filmed right after I Love Money season.
That checks out.
One.
That checks
whatever
out.
Whatever we just did.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's coming right off of the argument they had, which again, go listen to our I Love Money season.
It's
You'll
a hilarious season.
So yeah. So there's so many beefs happening. Angelique subtitles are back, and thank God for that.
They're truly one of the highlights of her being. She also has since become a Trumper.
Yeah, no, she's not good.
She's not good, but God damn, she's
not
hilarious.
Not only a Trumper, but like she hangs out with like strange white boys who've had a lot of surgery to look like Korean K-pop stars.
It's a weird group. Yeah, it's very niche.
But they all love Trump.
It's so weird. She hasn't quite Tila Tequila'd, but she's coming close. I could see it happening.
Oh, yeah.
If they were at like a VH1 party together, I could see her be like, oh, I like what you're doing here.
And I don't mean to be rude, but like at this point, like Angelique's got to be what, like 50, 60?
She 60. I don't think she's 60. Like, it was 20 years ago.
I mean, she's posting like videos of her in bed, like holding K-pop idol shit. Like, it's fucking weird. I'm sorry. There's a 75 age gap, a year gap between you guys.
I think that she looked older. Maybe she is older. Maybe she was more like Rodeo's
age. Maybe she was only
35. Yeah.
You know, so now she's probably 55, 60.
Yes. Yeah.
But it's just so creepy watching her like still strutting around in pink thongs holding like 18-year-old boy photos.
The young boy part is like where I draw the line.
It's gross.
I'm okay with anybody of any age being youthful or liking cartoons or dressing young. Like, I don't have any issues
with
that shit.
But don't be a predator.
But don't sleep with children.
Don't sleep with children.
Please.
Let's draw the line there. Like, we're not even imply it. Honestly, we're pretty chill people.
Very chill.
I feel like that's the line.
There's three lines.
Yeah, there's like three lines. Don't kill anybody. Mm-hmm. Don't fuck with kids. Uh-huh. In any sort of sense.
In any version of that.
And don't hurt animals.
That's what I was going to say. That's literally all of them.
That's it.
Like, so it's pretty easy to slip past our critique. Yeah. So
isn't that hilarious that you just said that? It's easy to slip past our critique. And here we are with two podcasts
where we just
all we do is talk shit. All we do.
Okay. But what I mean is like just for who you are.
Yeah, no, it's true.
Just for who you are. Yeah, just for who you are. So anyway, she looks rough. And
her extensions haven't gotten any better.
I feel like she's cutting her hair with safety scissors before she cuts out of the bus.
Yeah.
It's so harsh. And
she's
got harsh lines. Somebody did her dirty.
Who is she putting in her own extensions?
I think she is. And I'm wondering if she was doing, because I think this was when those like fusion extensions got really popular.
Where you would use the hot iron.
The hot iron to squeeze them in. And like in theory, those are supposed to blend better, but they don't.
They didn't.
Especially if you have like thin white girl hair.
Yeah.
It's just your hair gets greasy at the root.
Right. That's what happens to her.
There's dramatic separation. Even Britney Spears, who was one of the wealthiest women on the fucking planet, she had those fusion extensions and they were so obvious.
So bad.
And I just feel like if you're a rich person and you can't pull off a style,
then don't be poor and try it.
You can't.
Don't be poor. Did I ever tell you guys about the time I went to a store to get extensions and they sold me just like a 40-foot
weft
of hair.
And they forgot to explain to you
what to do.
Yeah.
So I went to my friend's house. They're like, oh, yeah. We just got to glue it in. So they gave me the glue. They didn't help me out.
They just sent,
sent me home with glue.
They sent you home with 3 miles of hair and then a jar of industrial strength glue.
And it was like black glue. And they were like, this should blend in with your hair. Bitch, I went to my friend Jess's house and was like, okay, can you glue these in? She glued them to my scalp.
Oh, I believe it.
She glued them to my scalp.
It's a messy endeavor. It's really hard to do. And if you don't know how to do it, you will ruin your hair.
You will ruin your hair. It basically turned into concrete back
there. Oh, yeah. And the only way to get it out is like oodles and oodles of conditioner. And you have to slowly pull it out.
And the shit that I got was cheap as fuck. So after like two washes, it was awful. And then it was just stuck to my scalp. Oh, my God. It was so funny, my dude. It was so funny. And it was curly for no reason.
Just randomly curly in between your hair. Oh, guys. Extensions in the early 2000s.
It was rough.
They were all the rage, but we were all struggling.
We were all struggling. Now, like, after that, I was like, you know what I'm going to do? Like, I went and I got the weft again. I was like, I'm just going to get that. I doubled it up. Yep. I sewed in clips.
Yep.
And I started clipping them in. But again, you guys have seen the videos of girls mocking the 2000s where they would turn around in their school chair and there would just be the whole... I mean, luckily, I blended it a lot better. And that was when scene girls were in, so I was teasing the fuck out of it. So you couldn't see the clips, but like
I did... mullet up top.
Yes. I did get a little better at that as time went on.
I started wearing beanies because I just get paranoid that while I was at a show, like...
the wind would blow and expose your clip-ins.
Yes, girl!
Oh my God, the time!
The time.
So they're all stoked to see Sharon.
Yes.
Right? I mean, Sharon's like the best case scenario here.
Yes. And I don't know if they know. I'm so curious. I wish somebody would share, and maybe it's out there and we just had to look. But like what the I doubt there's an application process, right? Like I'm sure they are chosen.
They are, yeah.
But what are they sold? You know what I mean? Like
right.
Charm School season one's already out.
So I think they have an idea. Because there have been a couple girls I've seen on Storm TV to plug Lacey. I've seen a lot of her interviews with them and they'll say like, oh yeah, you know, right after I Love Money season one, they came to me and asked and I said no.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to deal with this shit and they offered me more and I said no. Because apparently Christia was supposed to be on this season.
That checks out.
But her and Brandy C had just gotten to a huge argument and Christia moved out of Brandy's house.
Oh, they were living together.
They were living together after Rock of Love.
Brandy literally marries every one of these girls. Every girl who becomes her best friend becomes her best fucking friend.
Brandy C is a ride or die. We went through this with the I Love Money.
I know.
She is a ride or die homie. We would all be lucky to have a Brandy C.
It's true. And we find out now that her and Lacey have become friends, which we've never seen before because they were on different seasons.
Right.
And Lacey wasn't on I Love Money. So that's the first we're hearing of them being friends.
I would have died to see Lacey on I Love Money.
Oh!
I would have fucking died.
She would have changed the dynamic so much.
It would have been a lot more intellectual. I think it would be a lot more like scheming.
But Megan was really, really clever.
Megan was really good.
And I don't think, I think the difference is, I don't think Lacey would have had the sex appeal to the that group of men the way that Megan did.
But
and
she would have been pulling some strings, though.
I know. I just, it would have been a totally different show. It would have been really interesting to see somebody who is as
calculated
as Megan working against her.
Oh yeah.
And no, like, it would have been awesome if she could have divided the house, like if she was on the opposing team or something. Would have been fun.
I wonder.
Do it, bring it back.
Bring it back. So Sharon announces $100,000 prize,
which is again a lot of money for this time.
It is.
And they're all, I'm assuming, getting paid for this. So they are getting paid to do this plus $100,000 prize. Pretty good.
Pretty
good. I bet they get
good.
Paid based on how long they're on the show.
Probably.
There's probably some motivation for them to make it the full show.
Right.
Otherwise, people would just come, be a bitch, get kicked off, and collect the check.
So beds are assigned, and basically Sharon says they'll see you in 1 hour.
Yes.
So I just want to point out 1 hour. A lot of shit is about to go down.
A lot of shit is about to go down, and the thing she doesn't say, she said beds are assigned, and everybody's looking, finding their bed. They are bunk beds, y'all.
Yo, they are like little...
little tiny camp-sized bunk beds.
Oh,
they're not
God.
Even full-size beds. They're like whatever children's size beds are.
Yes.
And they're bunk beds, and they are purposefully picked to put enemy v. enemy.
Dude, we've got Heather in a room with Brandy C. and Megan.
And they are all just like, oh, fuck.
And Lacey and Dallas are on top of each other.
And that again.
That feels dangerous to me.
It does. And Dallas immediately is like, just don't talk to me.
Just don't talk to me.
Just
dude.
Don't fucking talk to me. And Lacey can't help herself.
She can't help herself.
And she says it to camera, but I'm like, girl, why? It's a different kind of show. Like, the point of this show is to be a better person.
Nope, not to Lacey.
Not yet, at least.
Lacey's point is to always calculate and manipulate her way to the top. Don't you remember there? I don't remember what podcast we were talking about this on. Is that there's always like an easy way to just get from point A to point B, but you and I will manipulate our way around everything just because we don't want to get to B.
Just because B is ugh.
B is ugh. Ugh. B is too easy.
Yeah, it's so the pain in between that really gets us off.
In a way, we can kind of relate to Lacey to try to trick her way to be.
Yeah.
Instead of just going to be.
I think the big difference between us and Lacey is Lacey likes being hated.
Yes, we don't.
We don't
are people
like
pleasers.
That.
So that's the
main difference, and it's the only reason sometimes when I watch her, I'm like, oh, girl, boy.
I might manipulate and like verbally like lie to people to get to be.
Yeah.
But I would never taunt and harass and pick at people's open wounds to try to get to be. Like she has something in her.
She has no chill. She just keeps going. And all I could think while you were saying that is I would only ever do a show like this if we could do it together.
I could never do it. No,
I wouldn't want to.
No.
Because then I'd have to tell you everything that happened, and it's just too much work.
We'd be on the phone the whole time talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what's happening.
Yeah, it's a twofer, guys.
It's a twofer or a zero.
Yes.
So the shots start flowing, dude.
Oh my God. 1 hour, guys. 1 hour before enrollment.
Mother Rodeo, the second mother of the show.
Yes.
She goes to friend Raven, right? Because Raven has placed herself sort of on a couch like where no one else is.
Yeah, she has removed herself from the group immediately.
Yes. And Rodeo goes and like tries to be sweet to her and kind of like taps her leg and is trying to be like encouraging.
Yeah.
And Raven shuts it down immediately and is like, listen, I'm not like you idiots. I am an intelligent person.
Yeah.
And immediately just starts again. I don't know that she's necessarily trying to tear them down.
I don't know. It feels pretty clear that she is not being careful with her words.
No, she is being really pointed. It's like, I'm not stupid. I'm not an idiot. I am an intellectual.
Right.
I should not be here.
Right.
You know, whatever, whatever. I'm not here to make friends. Please don't touch me. And it's very aggressive, like right off the bat.
And you know, Rodeo, for as obnoxious as she can be, she's a sweetheart. And like, this really takes her by surprise. But then she says, so are you saying you don't want to be here? Like, you just don't fit in? And she's like, yeah, I don't fit in. I don't belong here. I'm not like you other people. And Rodeo's like, well, you should make sure they know that.
Yeah, you should tell Sharon about that. Like, I feel like that's important to tell Sharon.
I did love that Rodeo was not this early in the show blinded by her need to make friends.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
I just felt bad because had anyone else done that to Raven and she acted that way, I'd have been like, yeah, fuck them.
Yeah.
But like the fact that it was Rodeo tells you that like, no, Raven really does not
She's
fuck
hateful.
With these people and she doesn't want to be here. But I do want to say, Raven, I think, might struggle with a couple things.
Yeah.
Like outside, because I've looked into her a couple times.
Okay.
She's done some like really degrading and violent videos.
Interesting.
that didn't seem to necessarily be, I don't want to sit here and say she didn't want to be doing them, but it'd be hard to imagine why anyone would really want to do them.
Okay.
And I think she has struggled with like other kind of issues around that and has kind of disappeared.
Okay.
So I don't know that she is well. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know that she is fully well. So I'm going to take it easy on her.
That's fair.
You know what I mean?
I mean, all we have to go on
is what's presented. But I'm just saying to say, like, a lot of the girls have done this or that, sure. or now they're this or that. Like, she kind of got into some really weird shit that seemed really, not good.
Yeah.
And then kind of, I think, got into some trouble and then just disappeared. And it all just seemed really
bad. I hope she's okay.
Yeah, so I'm going to take it easy on her.
Okay, that's fine. But again, we are here to talk about the episode, and that's what we'll do.
It's true. So Lacey, they're outside drinking, and yes. Dallas is minding her own fucking business.
She really is.
Trying to eat this apple, dude.
And Dallas has, I mean, she said, Lacey, just don't talk to me.
Just don't talk.
Don't fucking talk to me.
So Lacey doesn't talk to her. What she does is she tickles her butthole.
And she says, she says to camera, I see Dallas standing there. I just can't let dead dogs lie. And I tickle her butt.
Girl, keep your hands to yourself.
Like present day, that is sexual assault.
It
right?
is sexual assault.
But like back then, Lacey sees it as no big deal. No one sees it as a big deal.
And she even says it later that like all I did was grab her ass and she reacted so big. And it's like,
yeah, that's like literally assault.
And also, all of the beef that happened between them on their season was about her not putting her hands.
Yes.
And that's what Dallas kept saying. Take your fucking hands off me. Take your fucking hands on me. Dallas,
someone get this bitch.
Trying to get away from her. And I'm sorry, but for me, that is a line.
No,
you
can
run your mouth all day, every day. I get that. As soon as your hands touch me, say your fucking prayers, bitch.
Yeah, dude, seriously.
I'm taking teeth or I'm taking legs. Like, well, what do you want to lose? What are you more comfortable parting with? Because you're losing something tonight.
Dallas takes an ear. So suddenly, Dallas turns around, sees that it's Lacey, dumps her fucking drink on her.
All over her head.
Lacey is laughing about it, throws her drink back. Suddenly, there's just liquid flying everywhere.
Everywhere.
When out of nowhere, an apple.
A whole apple.
One bite out.
Dude, they play it in slow-mo. Dallas swings back.
She spikes that shit.
Spikes it, and it hits, and they play that ringing sound. I'm sure that's exactly what happened.
It's so good because it fucked me up.
I've been hitting
the head enough times that I was like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what
it sounds like.
And Lacey says, while still laughing, trying to keep her cool.
She's trying to, but you can tell she's hurt.
Of course. And she says, she just hit me with a glass. Did you see that? She hit me with a glass. And Dallas is like, it was an apple. Because that is different.
I'm not sure what's worse, honestly. Because an apple's really dense.
It is, but it's got a little give. I think a glass is worse. I think a glass is definitely worse. I think if she had hit her over the head with a bottle, that is different than spiking an apple at her
head. Either way, it fucking sucks.
It sucks for Lacey, but you asked
like,
for
I get
it,
where
girl.
Lacey's coming from, like a tickle, sure. But like also
but why
keep
her butt?
Your hands to yourself.
Just
like,
stop touching
you
her.
You knew better.
And she said, don't look at me. Don't talk to me. You did this.
And you can tell, like, as soon as Lacey kind of holds her ear and is saying, like, that actually really fucking hurt, like, you can see Dallas sort of panic.
Yeah, of course, because Dallas knows that Lacey gets under her skin like no other. And she's like, fuck, I didn't want to be that girl. I don't want to be that girl.
But
I don't,
she makes me this girl.
She makes me this girl. And that is such a hard position to be in.
It is.
Because it truly is purposeful antagonizing bullying.
It is crazy. And you would think Lacey would learn her lesson from this incident.
Oh, and you would think Dallas would be able to fucking temper herself. But she can't. And everybody fucking loses.
Which sucks so bad. So Raven and Dallas go off on their own, basically.
Right.
And Jessica and Megan approach them. And honestly, I hate Megan, but I feel like this was fairly innocent. I think they just saw two girls sitting together like, hey, what the fuck happened, you know?
Yeah, and I think also they know everyone else.
Yeah.
They don't know these girls, so they're just like bullshitting.
It feels fairly innocent. It did.
And it's just the two of them. And we know Jessica Kinney. She's like a super sweetheart.
She's a very sweet girl. And yeah, I don't think her intention was malicious, but who fucking knows?
Megan didn't even have the opportunity to be nasty yet.
She would have like, if she was given
the
chance.
She would have, though. I'm sure she would have been nasty.
But as soon as she basically comes up and they approach, Raven's reaction is very strange.
Yeah.
And she says essentially, Jessica, you and I have nothing to talk about. Like, you have nothing intellectual going on. And Jessica's like, that's hilarious. I work for NASA.
Which was a great comeback. And also, then she throws it back at her. And she was like, I don't care. We have nothing in common. And she was like, no. You just said I don't have any intellectual compatibility. Tell me, what do you know about my intellect? Like, Jessica's like, okay, you're going to come for me. Let's fucking go. And Raven doesn't really have anything.
She doesn't.
She just keeps saying, like, I'm better than you guys. I'm smarter than all of you.
Suddenly, a loose pit bull that is pink comes running into the room. Dude, Brandy C comes in like, you're going to call my fucking girl stupid? You're going to call my girl stupid? Fuck you.
She's like a scientist for NASA.
She like does mathematicians.
She's like does math for spaceships and stuff. Like, you don't even come in here and talk about my friend like that.
And suddenly she's crying. And I'm like, what the fuck,
girl,
dude?
She's always crying. Again, 1 hour.
We are probably 30 minutes in on this shit.
And we haven't even addressed everything that happened. So other important things that are happening.
Other important things.
In addition to all the shots, the champagne, the beers, the amount of alcohol that is flowing, what we see is Brandy M is playing bartender. She's making herself Red Bull and water shots while she is feeding Courtney whatever Courtney wants.
This bums me out. Even Angelique, who I have to give her some credit, comes up and says, hey, Courtney,
chill.
Like, maybe just take it easy, because you went home first for on your season for being drunk.
Yeah, like, you don't want to do that again.
Of course, it sounded a lot sloppier than I just did it, and it needed subtitles, but she got her point across.
Like, listen. Yeah, you don't need no have another drink. Yeah. You I do not have no alcohol. I do sex. It's more fun. I like sex.
Yeah, that's pretty much like, why don't we do sex? Forget the alcohol.
Yeah,
let's do
you want to just go do sex? Right. Let's just be sexy.
Yeah.
I don't even need this $100,000. I could make it in a couple months.
No, she said stripping. I can make that in 2 months stripping. And I was like, I believe you, though.
I do.
I do.
100%.
So she doesn't even need to be here. But anyway.
But we're glad she is.
I'm glad she is. And even like, I think Rodeo comes up to Courtney at a certain point is like, hey, why don't you take it easy? But Brandy just keeps feeding her shots. And I felt like that was, as someone who struggled with alcohol, at a certain point in my life, it didn't take a lot of peer pressure. Because Courtney entered the situation and said, I'm going to take it easy. Yeah. I'm not going to drink much. Right. I'm going to pace myself. But the more that the drinks were flowing and Brandy was serving and she was acting like she was taking shots, I felt like that, again, in a 2024 perspective, was kind of fucked up. We know that Courtney has a drinking problem. Yeah. Like, maybe we shouldn't be encouraging this to this degree.
And if you're going to give yourself Red Bull and water shots, maybe give Courtney Red Bull and water
shots. Why wouldn't you just fake it out with her a little bit?
Yeah, and then she is also, but again, it's a competition.
I know, but this just seemed a little...
I agree. It's too far.
It's too far. It's too far. It's her health, dude.
It's her health. And again, it's like, it's the first night.
It's like the first 30 minutes.
We literally know nothing about Courtney. Maybe, yes. Like, let's give her a chance.
Let her have one day on the show.
This bitch is hammered.
Dude, she's leaning up against a plant, I'm talking like a huge statuous plant. It is like 6 feet.
It's a topiary.
Yes.
And she is knocking it over. Rodeo is holding it
on the other side.
And everybody's like, Rodeo, you can't babysit her all night. And she's like, she's gonna knock the plant over.
And I'm gonna give Raven credit. It showed Raven carrying her in to see Sharon. Raven stepped
I was shocked.
Up and was helping her and carrying her around.
I was very, very surprised. And there was an assortment of people who were assisting her at different points.
It's
but
true.
She did fall straight out of her chair and hit her head.
She did.
And then
let's get to that.
Yeah.
So Lacey decides to start picking on Raven.
Oh, Lacey!
After she just got clocked with a fucking apple in the ear,
she decides that she's going to go harass
and
Raven.
And I hate to say this, but there are two black people on this cast.
Yep.
And you went for both of them.
Yep.
There's a fucking problem.
Yeah, it definitely feels...
She's apologized for this. She's, again, I think maybe she was picking on other people we didn't get to see. We don't know what the editing is like, but the way this looks, it looks fucking bad.
It looks race motivated, for sure.
It does. And I mean, again, Raven has made it clear that, like, maybe things aren't all good for her.
Yeah, and so, she doesn't want anything to do with any of you.
Just like Dallas. She was minding her own fucking business. Yeah. And Lacey comes out of nowhere and is like, so you want to call my friend Jess dumb? The way she excused this was, I want to get in with Jess, Megan, and Brandy. Like, I want to be kind of the leader of their team. So I'm going to step up and confront Raven to prove to them that I'm on their side. That's her logic.
I don't know either.
I think the 2000s were fucked up. Maybe it was an unconscious bias.
Yeah.
Maybe it was unconscious racially
I'll let her have that,
because unconscious bias is real.
Absolutely.
And you don't even, you know, some people
that's
don't
the
even
whole
realize
point. You don't know you're doing
exactly.
It that's why it's so dangerous.
Maybe that's what was going on, because I don't peg Lacey as a person who seems, you you know, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know, but it feels gross because she, even the way she says why she's going after her, she was like, there's just something about her I don't like. And I was like, girl, stop talking. You are really making me uncomfortable.
And again, don't go for Lacey. This was over 20 years ago. Like, what are we going to do? And she has since apologized. However, this was really gross. And I immediately was like, this seems racist. Yes. I don't like it. So she goes for her and basically says, oh, so you're calling them dumb. You're calling Jess dumb. Fuck you. And Raven's like, just don't talk to me.
Right.
Step the fuck back. And Lacey grabs her hair, thinking that it's a wig, and goes to snatch her fucking wig, which,
yanks
again,
it very hard.
Is
assault.
Yes.
Grabbing somebody's hair, whether it's a wig, a hat, a fucking scarf,
it doesn't matter.
You can't put your hands on other people.
Her wig does not come off because it's not a wig.
Right.
It is attached to her fucking head.
And Lacey's excuses, I thought it was a wig.
She is immediately like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I thought it was a wig. Again,
doesn't change a thing to me.
You wanted to make the biggest asshole out of her. For what?
You were going to embarrass her? That's like
by
pulling somebody's pants down.
Fucking, yes, that's like pantsing someone. Like, you wanted her what? To be bald under?
Yeah.
Like, what did you want? What was your goal?
So gross.
It was so fucking nasty. So it's getting really fucking heated between the two of them. And
guys,
to break the tension, Courtney falls out of her chair and hits her head on the concrete.
Guys, it's 45 minutes into the 1 hour.
God.
How did this happen? Why is it so intense?
So Raven ends up saving Courtney. Again, like, she just got her fucking hair pulled. Like,
I know.
Whatever.
I know.
She ends up helping the drunk girl, which, again, I was like, that's more pro. Because I would have walked out of that fucking place.
She
I would have beat Lacey's
so
ass
heated.
And left.
Yeah, I would have beat Lacey. I would have absolutely. I would have thrown Lacey
in the pool.
Pool.
I would have at least, minimum.
Or I might have tried to knock some of her teeth out.
Right.
Like, I would be
pulling
so
on my hair
mad.
Like that.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I would be so furious. It's so. On so many levels, it's bad.
As someone who was literally just wearing a wig, less than 2 hours ago, what my hair looks like under there, is humiliating.
And that's what I mean. It's like it is to me the equivalent of pulling somebody's pants down. The only reason you do it is to embarrass them.
Yes,
it's not anything else. It is malicious. It is evil. And there are cultural implications there that are just
exactly
so fucking gross.
Yeah, and again. I don't know what to say about Lacey. I've always been a fan of Lacey as a character on television,
right? Yeah.
Like, I'll be the first person to admit it. I love the shit she stirs up.
Yeah.
I love that she's so different and malicious and calculated. Like, all these things
she's a perfect villain.
She's a perfect villain.
She's a wrestling heel if ever there was one.
In this episode, I'm like, I can't stand you, Lacey.
I got nothing in me wants to stand up for her.
I can't support you.
And if I were making decisions, Lacey put her hands on two different people.
I would have maybe.
She's gone.
Honestly, if I was there, like, not even just present day me, because I think I was even worse at this when I was younger. Like, when I was in high school or, like, my early 20s, the most fights I got in weren't my own.
Oh, no.
They were, like, someone else was being picked on.
Yeah.
And I would get really offended by that.
Yeah. It's funny how, as people pleasers, on one hand, like, for ourselves, we'll let ourselves get totally walked all over
Absolutely.
And destroyed. But if you fucking... My friend! You come from my friend, call my friend stupid.
She does math and is so skinny.
Yeah, like, I swear.
Yeah.
So I just feel like I would have probably ended up getting eliminated.
I think
episode.
I would have been okay with it just to feel like I stood up
for
somebody.
For real?
Yeah.
Yes.
Which
yes.
I then would have been mad about because I'd be like, damn, Raven, you're just a hater.
I know.
But that's not
Raven
the point.
Raven is a hater. That's mean. But in this moment, she didn't deserve anything.
No.
You
those
know
are
what
not
I mean?
The same things
no.
at all. They're completely separate from one another. And Lacey doesn't know any of that. So she just needs to fucking chill.
It was so bad. So they end up getting her, like, Courtney, drunk into the fucking, they get called into the whatever, the
enrollment ceremony.
Enrollment ceremony. That's
yes.
the word.
Yes.
And so the charm school deans are here. We get to introduce, hey guys, Ricky Rackman's back.
Ricky.
I love Ricky Rackman.
He's hilarious.
And then we have Daniela Clark. She is married to Gilby Clark. I guess he is in
Guns N' Roses.
And she's an entrepreneur and she sells things.
She's got a line of denim called Frankie B. Jeans. I have to say, I didn't look them up. I'm going to assume they look like Affliction jeans.
Oh, I'm sure they're disgusting.
I'm sure they're flared.
Yeah, flare low
Brett
rise.
Probably wears
I'm
them.
I'm sure Brett wears them all the time.
Yeah. And
in a girl's size 12.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure that, like, of that era, that is, jeans were embellished. embellished jeans were like the fucking thing.
I never had a bejeweled jean.
I never had a bejeweled jean, but I did buy a pair of Seven jeans. Do you remember the brand Seven?
Oh, I remember Seven, babe.
Yeah, and they were probably like $40, which was insane.
I remember being pissed off that PacSuns were $25.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So a $40 pair of jeans, girl, you were...
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. And it was like the brand. It was like...
Seven jeans.
Before having a booty mattered.
Yeah.
Like this was the era of you wanted to be as skinny and flat as possible, except in the tits.
Yeah.
But these were like the first... supposed to enhance your butt kind of jeans, but they were so low rise. Oh my god.
Oh my god. I can't believe I had the mid drift at a certain time in my life to wear a low rise. And
I did. Have like one picture of myself from that era and I'm like, god damn, I had no idea.
Every time I was walking out the door, my mom would pull my pants up and pull my shirt down.
I'm sure.
And then they would just immediately go back into their mid drift.
You have been blessed with a beautiful hourglass figure.
Oh, thank you.
You have like you have the dream proportions.
Oh my god, no
of
way.
Like, yes, of like, big juicy milkers.
My ass is pancake though, and I have footage of that.
No. Your ass is not pancake. Your ass was constricted into a pancake against its will. It was forced into that shape. But you have a teeny tiny little waist and you have beautiful full hips and a big luscious booty.
Oh, well, thank you.
You have like my dream body proportions.
Get the fuck out of here.
No. You have like the perfect hourglass figure. 100%. No shade. You have such a great body shape.
Thank you for saying that.
And I've seen your body in all these different times in your life, and you maintain that like hourglass figure.
Well, thank you. I will say, over pandemic, I did lose it for a minute. My waist was, I was like refrigerator shaped for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that's how I'm shaped. I don't. No. I have very wide ribs. And so my rib to hip ratio is the same. So I don't have that definition in the waist.
But you pull it off though.
Well,
I wear a corset.
And you pull it off.
I tape that shit shut.
You look fabulous.
I find a way.
The moral of this story is we love each other very much.
Very, very much. And we will never wear a low rise jean again.
And we will never wear a low rise jean.
These are the morals.
And I feel like if we had the opportunity to switch bodies for a day, both of us would be gay.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Because we both love each other.
Yeah, but I do terrible stuff to your
body.
That's
okay, babe. I would already put her through the ringer on the street.
Yeah.
Naked.
Well, I haven't fucked in years, so.
Oh, I would get you so laid. I would get you so laid. I would also get you laid by a woman.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, do whatever you want. I'm not doing shit over here. I'm not inviting any demons into me.
No, I'm
not really doing much with this body.
I would never invite demons into you. I'm the last person who would do that.
As long as you don't do
that. I would evict all the demons and just invite some hotties over.
Perfect.
And then I would put you, I would make sure you were in bed by 10:30.
Thank you. 10:30 is good.
Yeah.
That's a good time. Yeah. You know, put a sleep timer on the TV. Mm-hmm. As long as I'm out by 11, we're good.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine. I would take care of you.
Good. Thank you.
Just like these girls take care of drunk ass Courtney, who, can we just take her shoes off?
Take her shoes off.
She's wearing a fucking pussy pump.
Dude, she can't walk.
She can't walk. Take her shoes off. Let her be barefoot.
She can't even sit.
No. She's
like,
that
this is bad, you guys. So they carry her in and we meet the deans, like we said, and they're basically all gonna, each week we're going to have a specific lesson and test based on one of the Charm School 10 commandments.
They flashed it so fast I couldn't screenshot it.
No,
so hopefully we'll get it one of these
weeks.
Each
episode will probably be the title, I would assume.
That makes sense. Yeah, we'll probably focus on one of the commandments.
Exactly.
But I was hoping we would get a screenshot of it.
I know, they were too quick and only showed like half of them. So each girl's gonna come down, they have a DVD of their worst Rock of Love moment.
This is bold statement, because they all did way worse stuff than what we see
here. It's so true.
But it's just like a cheesy way. It's so of the era. A fucking DVD, bitch.
And they have to shred it.
It's so silly.
It's so silly. So to go through them very quickly.
Yes.
Angelique, it's her being very sexy. She stands by all of her sexual activity.
She just can't help it. She just loves to be so sexy. And she loves to take off her clothes.
How confident she is. This is like, yep.
I love... Oh, I wish she wasn't bad.
I know, I wish she wasn't bad. Courtney, it's very bad because she comes up there and she can't stand and she can't walk. And Sharon basically says, listen, babes, you got to go to bed.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, this is dangerous. Please go to bed. And again, I respect Sharon for at least considering her health in the middle of a TV show.
She's very maternal in this moment. She has Jessica and Destiny take her up to bed.
Yes. Brandy M.
She says, do you need help? And she says, yeah.
Oh, baby.
I know. I feel so bad because I've been Courtney, dude. It's bad.
bad.
More than I'd like to admit.
Agreed. Brandy M goes up. It's just farts and burps in her video.
I feel like Sharon is harsh on her in a way that doesn't make sense. Right. But I guess she's got to be shitty to everybody. She calls her a drunken pirate. And she's like, we're going to teach you how to be a girl. I was like, ugh, why?
Whatever. Whatever. Don't ever let her listen to these podcasts.
No.
So Christy Joe, she's just an emotional mess, right? And she's airing out all of her own dirty laundry and just kind of being like a roller coaster of a human.
Remember when she gets on the show and she's talking to Brett for the first time? She's like, technically, I'm still married. Well, that was after the restraining order. And you're just like, oh, it's a lot. It's a lot.
No, it is a lot.
God damn it. She was so pretty.
She's so hot.
She looks like the woman who killed her baby, though. Florida.
Casey Anthony.
Yeah,
she kind of does look a little bit like a polished Casey Anthony.
Yeah. She look
like a penthouse Casey Anthony. I'm with you.
Casey Anthony looks like a Dollar General.
A Dollar General Christy Joe.
Fair.
Totally fair. Jessica, they literally just show that one time she was drunk,
which
on
is so
Block.
Unfair because she was basically like a picture of decorum and politeness and like she was good to everybody.
Yeah, she just got drunk one time and ate bread sloppy.
Cut her some slack.
Yeah. Destiny, they show her doing naked cartwheels.
That was funny and it was a dare.
It was great.
Destiny's another one who I feel like her biggest flaw is she's too trusting and she gets manipulated.
Yes.
I don't think Destiny has done anything she needs to be embarrassed about.
I agree with you. I agree. Megan goes up and...
Well,
there's no saving her. But also they're like, what do you want to do with your life, Megan? She's like, I just see myself as like a high-end trophy wife.
She says, I just can't see myself working.
Yeah.
And I was like, girl, say.
So just put me on a shelf.
Yeah. She was like, I just see myself being like a very high-end trophy wife. And they are all so grossed out by that. And I was like, you need to have a seat. Why the fuck do you think anybody was on the show called Rock of Love with Bret Michaels?
For real.
Get the fuck out of here. That's what they were all shooting
for. It wasn't for his tuna can.
Wasn't for the can. Was not for the can.
Was not for his tuna can. Duke.
Oh.
And then we see Brandy C. And it's just her being really ditzy and stupid.
Yeah. And what Sharon says I liked, because Sharon was like, hey, babe, I think you're deeper than you let people think you
are. That's true.
And we're going to figure out a way to help you lean into that. And I thought that was sweet.
Yeah. Rodeo.
Crying already. She's literally crying standing there looking at her.
My boy.
She's standing there and she says, you're just such a wonderful person.
And Sharon goes,
I know.
Thank you. It's so uncomfortable.
Oh, it's so weird.
Raven, she goes up and is like, I really don't need to be here, but I just want to be a new age talk show host.
And the whole room kind of crickets. And Sharon's like, yeah, I don't really
like
see
this
that.
Isn't a show for that.
Yeah. Okay. And that's kind of it. And they don't have any DVD of her because I think she did leave right away.
Ina's footage is her stripping for the elderly.
That was so fucking funny. And she's the right amount of embarrassment. She's like, whatever. I did it. I love Ina.
I love her. I'm a huge fan. So big Heather, Ina fan. It's her getting in fights, getting tattooed.
Oh, the Brett tattoo. I can't believe they showed that to her. She knows that was a mistake.
She knows, okay? And then Dallas, it shows her Lacey fight. And I'm like, okay, that really wasn't her. It's footage of her trying to get away from a toxic...
It's her being assaulted.
Right.
And what she says, and then she's crying a little bit, and she says to Sharon, I just don't want any drama. I'm literally here to learn, and I just don't want any drama. And I was like, that is surprising to me, because she's kind of a sullen, dark, like... I really don't want to participate in the social aspects of this.
No, she opens up and she also says, look, I'm going to be straight with you. There was an incident with Lacey outside.
Yes.
And I just want to be transparent about that I had a fight with Lacey.
And she says, I'm not proud of the way I reacted.
Yes.
Good
but
for
I did
her.
React. So then Lacey comes up with the apple.
Oh my God. She's got it behind her back.
Oh my God.
I would like to demonstrate evidence one.
Oh, like, I'm like, oh my God.
You could just say an apple. I think we can all use our imagination and picture an apple.
For real. And she's like, I was assaulted after only tickling her butt. And you can see that like all the deans hate Lacey, including Sharon.
No,
they're like,
true.
No, we know who the fuck you are.
Yeah.
And you coming up like, I have to present this evidence to you because I'm an innocent baby who only assaulted this girl's butt. And then she hit me for no reason.
For no reason. And I barely even did anything wrong.
It's true. And Lacey can tell they don't like her.
Yeah,
so
she pulls back a little.
She pulls back.
back, and they have a mixer.
Which is scary, because when you can tell when somebody can read the room that much, you're like,
no, she is very, she's self-aware to a certain degree.
Yeah, it's
very
she turns it on and turns it off.
And they have that mixer with the dean, and Lacey says, like, I picked up on that, so I'm going to kiss ass a little bit.
Yep.
And she goes and she kisses ass with Sharon, and she's super sweet. I respect you, all this shit. They start talking to Raven, and Raven is extremely arrogant with them.
She's mean and rude to the deans. Yeah. What?
No, I get the feeling she's not.
Yeah.
She might not be very self-aware. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, whatever's going on with her. Like, because again, to us, it seems really clear that she's being really mean.
Yes.
But to her, I don't know that she is that aware that she's being mean. I know.
I've met people like that who just, like, have no filter and have no chill. But she's talking to Ricky. They're all talking about, he's like, oh, where do you live? And she was like, Hollywood. And he said, oh, how long have you lived here? Do you like it? And she said, no, not really. 3 weeks. And he was like, oh, like, he's really trying to make small talk with her. And she says in so many words, like, I'm not feeling this isn't for me.
So, okay, girl. All
right.
So we have our first elimination. Courtney wakes up this time.
Yes. And so basically they have this mixer with the judge or the deans.
Yeah.
The deans say, go upstairs and get your uniforms on.
They have schoolgirl uniforms.
Of course they do. Come back down and then we'll have your formal enrollment.
Yes.
And that will be like the beginning of charm school. And that's when they let them know there will be one elimination tonight.
Correct. I do have to point out that upstairs, Heather puts on these like shredded white fishnets. It's like, these are very like, you know, schoolgirl, aren't they?
It's hilarious. I think that they start to personalize them after tonight because I remember at least in season one everybody had a lot more unique like sock styles, tight styles, like they definitely customized it, cropped their jackets, like they did a lot of that kind of stuff. It's coming, just tonight they all come in the same actual uniform, which I appreciate.
And immediately Ricky is like, look, got to address the elephant in the room, Raven. Like, how are you feeling? It feels like you think you don't need to be here. And she's like, yeah, I confirm that. I don't need to be here. I'm not an idiot like these people. I don't need to be here.
Yeah.
And Sharon's like, all right, come down. I'm taking the pin.
Yeah. She was like, I mean, thank God, right?
Yeah,
thank
I was
God we
glad.
Don't push past that. Because in certain shows, they would totally try and push past that and be like, you got to give it a chance. And I'm glad they were just like, don't waste our time.
Don't waste our time. So they take her pin. She leaves. And on the way out, she says some weird shit. And then inside, Sharon's like, okay, so I know that she left on her own and like that's her decision, but I'm still eliminating somebody.
I still have
tonight.
To eliminate one person. Yeah.
So she, I love that they called on a bottom three.
Yes, oh, I love a bottom three because then you're always like, it's a perfect commercial break.
Yes.
And also it's like, it's just a way to let everybody know.
It's putting them on notice.
You have been warned. We have seen you.
Yeah.
And you're doing bad.
You're doing bad.
And everybody look.
Everyone look at the bad ones.
So can you guess who it is?
No.
Everyone's favorite, Lacey.
Of course.
The victim of the assault, Dallas.
Of course.
And fucking Courtney.
And I knew exactly because there's one person in this group who needs a different kind of help.
Yeah, and we all knew it. And Courtney gets called up and Sharon just says, baby, we can't help you here with what you need. And Courtney's sobbing.
She's like, please
just
give me one more chance. Uno noche, one more. And Sharon's like, listen, we are going to help you get into a program. Like, we're not going to leave you high and dry here. Like, we're going to offer you assistance as you leave here to put you in a program to help with this issue. Like, you're such a sweet girl. You seem lovely. This is not the right place
you
for
should,
you.
You need to be in rehab.
And Sharon has seen so much,
of course.
I'm sure she saw the warning signs immediately.
I'm sure.
And was like, this person needs help. And again, I respect that.
I do too. And especially for early days to be like, not just you need a different kind of help, but we're going to give you that different kind of. I don't think they were doing a lot of that in these shows back then.
I don't think so.
It was about TV.
They were encouraging
TV.
It, dude. Yes. They were encouraging it.
And they were at the first of this. And I don't know if a producer was like, this is a danger.
Right.
Like, this is a lawsuit waiting to happen. Or if Sharon was truly like, hey, can we use some of these resources to actually help this girl?
For real.
But she kind of, she's very upset. I'm sure she's humiliated.
Oh, yeah.
And she says to camera, she's like, I hate that this is how I'm going to be remembered. This is how I'm going to be perceived. This is not all of who I am, but maybe I do have a problem.
Yeah.
She said, I don't have a problem with alcohol most of the time, but when I'm under a lot of stress, it is the thing I lean on. And I know that's not healthy.
Makes me sad.
It makes
Courtney.
Me sad because you know she's like 22.
I know.
Like, she's just a babe.
I know. I hope that she's doing okay. I don't know much about about her.
I don't either. And I hope she's disappeared from the limelight, and I hope she's taking care of herself. But Sharon then puts Lacey and Dallas on notice and is like, okay.
Lacey, you're a manipulating asshole and no one likes you.
Yes.
And Dallas, you threw an apple at a woman's ear.
She says, you have anger problems and we got to get that under control. Yep. And they both agree.
They both agree. And you guys, we see a preview for the season.
Oh my God.
And Sharon's got her work cut out, ma'am.
She sure the fuck does. Think about all that shit that just happened in 1 hour, bitches.
1 hour.
1 hour, the chaos that ensued. And if you think that's where it's stopping, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
We got news for you. So that means you got to come back next week, okay?
You have to, because this is going to get more absurd every single time. We're about to see just as much juicy drama as we did on Rock of Love, except we got a mix of both casts.
Yes.
Let's fucking go.
Let's go, everybody. Stay tuned.
Keep it real.
Yeah, boy.
If we put our boobs together, we can think better.
Bitch, I will be ignorant all over your ass.
I'm sorry, but I cannot keep my clothes on.
Where's the garbage?
No. Right there.